Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome back to Talking Stuff on the podcast. I'm Jeremy Birmingham. That's Andrew Ellis. Today was a special day in the world, especially in Ohio. So before we dive into Ohio State recruiting, Andrew, how much of the eclipse did you get to see and did it change your life?
Well, I went on a nice little walk right at 3 o'clock and I did check it out. It was pretty cool. I wouldn't quite go as far as life changing, but it was pretty cool to see, though. I'm not going to lie.
How much where you were was in the path of totality?
Oh, we were right square in the middle of totality. So it was like, I think about as good as it can get, honestly. I'm not an astrologist or astronomer, but that's what I've gathered from the articles I've read.
Did you get photos?
I did take a photo and sent it to my wife just because she's down in the Dayton area right now. I mean, it just looks like a freaking circle. It's not anything crazy. But yes, I took a photo of it.
Yeah. I mean, but did you put like the eclipse lens in front of your phone to take the picture?
I did not know that.
Okay. Well, then that didn't work. Then your picture probably sucked. Let's be clear. You know, what's funny is that we were in an area that was described as like 99.5% totality. And the difference between where I live and like where my twin sister lives, like 8 miles away, was night and day, literally night and day as far as what she saw versus what we saw in my driveway. It was still pretty cool. Like it's still one of those things where I think looking back as people, you're going to be like, wow, that was pretty cool. But like, I don't think we got to experience it fully. So I hope everyone else did the way that you did, because that seems like it would have been cooler.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool. I was walking, there were like dogs out and some of the dogs were acting kind of funny too. So like, I don't know if that's plays into all this, but that's something that kind of caught my eye as I was out on my my jaunt in the midst of all the chaos. So I thought that was kind of weird.
Yeah, I noticed like the birds going weird, like, you know, you could hear that they were getting weirdly active at that time of day, thinking it was getting darker. And it was pretty cool just to see it go from like normal daytime to dark. And then what I'm amazed by is how the moon being so far away and then the sun being 93 million miles away, like how quickly that changes. And like, it looks like it's happening in real time, when I can only imagine how weird it would be up in the, you know, up there, man. Anyway, that's enough for that. I do want to say, I hope people enjoyed it, because like, it's very rare you get to see things on this planet that are so unusual and so remarkable. And that is pretty remarkable. What I think is the most remarkable thing about it, Andrew, is how like they know exactly the date and time to the minute that the next one's going to happen here. Like, that's stupid. Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't understand any of that stuff. Like, I've kind of grown up interested in all that kind of stuff just because we live, you know, I'm in Auglaize County, so we live close to the Neil Armstrong Air and Space Museum and all that kind of stuff. But I'm confused by all of it, but also very fascinated by all of it. So I agree.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. What else is pretty cool is recruiting, because like predicting the next eclipse, we know exactly what's going to happen and when in recruiting all the time, which is why this job has become so easy to do and everyone does it. Well, we'll start with Nate Roberts, who I think is a player that the Ohio State recruiting class has sort of revolved around in the last year, at least when it comes to tight end recruiting. Keenan Bailey hosted Nate Roberts and his family again this past weekend. Washington, Oklahoma, tight end, number 5 ranked tight end in the country, according to Rivals.com, 6'5", 230 pounds. He's got all the things you look for. Ohio State views him very much in like, if Cade Stover had played tight end in high school, that they think that's pretty much where Nate Roberts is and what you would be getting. And I wrote about it on Monday at OhioState.Rivals.com, why I think locking up this recruitment in the next couple of weeks is one of the most important parts, one of the most important things for Ohio State to do on the recruiting trail right now. Because if you look at the effort that Keenan Bailey has put in, if you look at the way that Ohio State has allowed the rest of the tight end board to basically dissolve around him, and then that's taken to a further point on Monday night when Lakota West tight end Luca Gilbert committed to Miami tonight. So now that one's off the board in the state of Ohio. But that's not something Ohio State was worried about, because they are dialed in on Nate Roberts and Brock Schott out of Leo, Indiana. And Nate Roberts, like when they started this pursuit, Andrew, it was like, no, there's no way. He's committed to Notre Dame. He's from Oklahoma. His family lives in basically in Norman. Not gonna happen. And now here we are a year later, and Ohio State seems like they're the team to beat. But Oklahoma, Oregon, Ole Miss, Penn State, a few others have hung around. His brother is now at Oklahoma playing for the Sooners. And it seems like every time he visits Ohio State, we hear the rumblings coming out of the trip. Like, this could be it. This could be it. And yet, it isn't. So, what is your take on where you think things are right now with Nate Roberts? And do you like the way you feel about it as a fan?
I do like the way I feel about it. When he initially decommitted from Notre Dame back in the day, I just assumed Oklahoma kid going to end up in Norman. And then I had some optimism on Ohio State. And then I found out his brother was transferring there. And I kind of got, you know, concerned again. But I think if he overlaps at all with his brother, it's only going to be like a year or something, if my math is correct on that. Right now, I feel pretty good about that. Like you've said, this is the guy Keenan Bailey has been on, him and Brock Schott. Really, those are the only guys we've talked about much at all. So it would be a pretty big miss if Keenan Bailey invested all that time into Nate Roberts and then lost him to Oklahoma or Oregon or wherever. But my question now is, what's the next 4 to 6 weeks going to look like? Does he get into his official visits and then make a decision? Does a decision come before that? I didn't get a chance to read your article yet today. I apologize. I didn't know if you had gotten any timeline in mind or not.
No, I mean, I've talked to Nate. I've talked to people around the recruitment, and the terminology I was told was could be any time, but the official visits are still scheduled. So what does that mean? Like, there are so many times when kids leave visits with the post-visit glow, you know, so bright and bold, and they're like, oh, this is everything I want. And then they get home, and it's all of a sudden like, you know what? Maybe I need to take another trip here. Maybe I need to take another trip there. Oklahoma's spring game is on April 20th. I know that Nate Roberts wants to be there in the stadium for the Oklahoma spring game on April 20. His brother, obviously playing at Oklahoma now, wants to make sure he's there to support family. And I get the sense that that visit will be the last visit that he takes before he makes a decision. And I think ultimately, while Oregon is still there in the periphery of this recruitment, I think it's Ohio State or Oklahoma. And I'm not going to say that I think that that next visit to Oklahoma will tell the tale, but I do think that he believes, and his family probably believes, it's important for him to go into that trip with an open mind and saying, I want to take one good last look here. And then the sense I got was that maybe if he feels good enough after that trip, one way or the other, Ohio State or Oklahoma, that he could potentially cancel his visits, the other official visits, and not take them, which I think whatever team was able to land him would be thrilled that that was the case. Because, like, at some point, these recruitments that have just been like back and forth battles, they have to end. Otherwise, you'll just keep visiting here and, you know, visiting here, visiting there, visiting here, visiting there, and doing that in perpetuity. And at some point, like, all you're doing is making your decision harder.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And if Ohio State can get him in the commitment column end of April, early May, that would be obviously phenomenal. Top target on the board. And then they can have the rest of the cycle to work on Brock Schott. You mentioned Luca Gilbert committing to Miami, and Miami is maybe the top competition for Brock Schott. So there's a lot of kind of moving parts with this whole tight end puzzle right now.
Yeah, Miami is the team that Ohio State, the people I've spoken to there, have said they were most worried about with Brock Schott. So I don't know exactly how the Hurricanes are posturing in this situation, how they're going to promote that. I would imagine they're going to tell Brock Schott what we talked about here a few weeks ago, is that there's a very real chance that Luca Gilbert turns into an offensive tackle in college at his almost 6'8", 260-pound frame right now. Like, it's going to be hard to keep him at tight end. And whether or not Miami's telling that to Luca Gilbert, I would be shocked if they're not telling that to Brock Schott and to other tight ends. So it will be interesting to see how it's played off, because that was a very big domino here for Ohio State, because they did believe that Brock Schott, the biggest competition was Miami. So now you have things lining up in a way for the Buckeyes that maybe go Keenan Bailey's way in a big way. And I think, because, you know, Demarion Witten, I think we can expect will start his Ohio State career when he gets on campus at the end of May in the wide receiver room. I think there's an even better opportunity for Keenan Bailey to point to the tight end position at Ohio State and say, here's what we have, and it ain't much, because there's not going to be a lot of returning depth or experience when that 25 class gets on campus finally. So I think, to your point, I would not be surprised if Nate Roberts, if that decision is made by the end of this month. I think that would be, I think that's probably like the goal for everyone. Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. You said it's April 20th, the Oklahoma spring game.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, okay. I mean, he was supposed to visit Ohio State this weekend for the Ohio State spring game, but now there's a big OT7, 7-on-7 tournament in Dallas where a lot of these kids who were expected to visit Ohio State this coming weekend and make visits elsewhere this coming weekend are no longer doing that because they're flying to Dallas and being wined and dined and being and playing, you know, football in tights.
That's right. I knew there was something that kind of altered his plans, but that's exactly what it was. So
yeah, so we'll see probably a handful of kids who are supposed to be at Ohio State this weekend that won't be. What we won't see at Ohio State for the coming weekend, because the Buckeyes did so much work over the March 22nd and March 23rd weekend and the March 30th and April 1st, March 31st, April 1st weekend, is like a huge group of kids, like the top of the top of the top. You're going to see some handpicked kids from around the Midwest and kids who couldn't get into town the rest of the spring, including Jonah Williams, the defensive back from Galveston, Texas. You're going to see him in town with Devin Sanchez. So that will be interesting. And it's shaping up the Jonah Williams recruitment as another Ohio State-Oklahoma battle, but also a fight where Texas is now involved. And I want to go to take a look at Austin, Texas this past weekend, where it seems like Texas had pretty much every one of Ohio State's top targets or Ohio State's uncommitted targets on campus in Austin this past weekend for their big scrimmage. And the more I think about this, Andrew, the more, like, in the last handful of years, we've had Ohio State going to battle a lot with Notre Dame, Clemson, et cetera. I think now, as the NIL era continues to evolve, we're going to see Ohio State and Texas and USC, those three schools that are really like in a city, like the schools that are like the major metropolis type of colleges. And I'm not going to include Miami in this because it's such a small private school and it's not the same as a place like Texas or USC or Ohio State. But I think we're going to start to see a lot of head-to-head battles between these schools. Texas obviously has an advantage for a lot of the kids that are in the state of Texas, but like Ohio State is Ohio State and they're going to keep plugging away. If you look at this weekend, obviously Jordan Davison was at Austin or in Austin at Texas. DeCorian Moore was there. Jamie French was there. Kalik Lockett was there. Jonah Williams was there. Elijah Barnes was there. I mean, just that group alone, we're talking five guys that were all in Ohio State in the last 2 weeks. And Jordan Davison's the only one of those guys that's not from Texas. So, like, it's an uphill battle, but the Buckeyes are very much involved. Do you think I'm right about that? Like, is this shaping up to be the next, like, back and forth battleground between Ohio State, Texas, USC? Because I'm really thinking about NIL, and there's only, I don't know, probably a dozen teams around the country, I think, that have really figured this out. And the teams like Ohio State, Texas, USC in these major metropolises have something to sell that just no one else really does. And that's like the city that they're in.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that. You know, I know I've mentioned Oregon a lot lately too, but obviously that's not that Eugene isn't some big city. So I can 100% see this being a kind of common theme over the next few years between Ohio State, USC, and Texas. Like you mentioned, the NIL is a piece of that too. But yeah, I mean, just looking through that list from visitors that was in Austin last week, I mean, basically every single priority target for Ohio State was there. And yeah,
Dorian Brew was there. Like, I mean, it's just a very long list.
Yeah. And I feel like, I don't know, DeCorian Moore is probably the one that I would lean towards Texas landing right now, assuming he doesn't end up in Baton Rouge, which I believe we both feel a decommitment will come there eventually. Haven't seen much on the Jordan Davison front. I know he's close with the Shard Choice there. Dorian Brew is a fascinating one. I have no idea what's happening there with Ohio State's numbers in the secondary and him being down there now. But I mean, it was a huge week in Austin. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah. Dorian Brew, I think, exemplifies exactly what I'm talking about a kid that may very well end up having to decide between those three schools, Ohio State, USC, Texas, because each school has a different pull for him. Each school has something major to offer. Obviously, you know, the difference, as you said, with a place like Oregon, you're up. It's hard as hell to get to Eugene, Oregon. Like, it's not easy to do. You can get to Dallas from anywhere and make that 2.5 hour trip to Austin pretty easy. You can fly into Austin pretty much from anywhere at this point. You can get to Columbus from anywhere very easily. You can get to LA from anywhere. Like, these are not hard trips to make. And as NIL becomes more wide open, you're going to be able to see schools pay for those trips directly all the time. And things are going to be a lot easier for these kids to get to those places. And the difference really now in this like world of television, this world of, you know, name, image, and likeness, these cities, like, they can just flat out meet with like major business leaders, major players in entertainment, major players in agriculture in Texas. I mean, you could just sit them down with the oil guys. Like, it's a different world now. And I really do think that a lot of kids who used to, like, you know, you'd go to Tuscaloosa, for example, and like, yeah, this is a college town, right? Like, this is a college. Ann Arbor is a great college town. But Detroit's still 30 minutes away. Like, it's not easy. And but I don't know why anyone would be going to Detroit anyway. Like Madison, Wisconsin, like those are great college towns. But what you have in a city environment is totally different. Ohio State, Texas, USC, that is just something I'm going to be really watching closely. And it's starting to percolate in this cycle. I think we'll see a number of those kids that we just talked about coming down to a decision between those schools. Jordan Davison. It looks like Ohio State or Texas to me there. I know that there's still some talk about Alabama, but and Michigan, but I just don't buy it. And maybe I'll be wrong. I don't buy the Michigan talk. I do think he likes Alabama, but I don't think that's where he's going to end up. And I think it's Ohio State or Texas. People I've talked to after this weekend didn't seem to feel like Texas did exactly what they needed to do to regain the lead. And then the Longhorns did add a running back commitment while he was on campus. So that's, you know, it's not a big deal entirely, but it is something where you look at it and you're like, maybe that doesn't hurt Ohio State. But then you look at the others like Dorian Brew, Elijah Barnes. I mean, the Khalik Lockett's, the DeCorian Moores, like these are guys that Ohio State is going to be swinging for until the end. And Texas now, I think they're probably like tired of seeing Ohio State come in there and take players from Texas, aside from the Devin Sanchez recruitment this year. Historically, if we can go back to J.K. Dobbins and Baron Browning and Jeff Okuda and Jackson Smith and Jigba. Like, so when Ohio State starts to go all in on a player there, I think we're seeing Texas intentionally ramp up their heat.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I did read on one of the Texas sites that they feel coming out of that visit that it's USC or Texas for Dorian Brew. And I don't know if you feel that way or if you think that's a possibility or do you think that's far-fetched?
I don't know. I don't think it's far-fetched to suggest that maybe Ohio State is not in front. I don't. What's interesting is we obviously read everything people do around the country, and that's part of our job. But there's things that are telling, and no one has like changed their prediction yet on Dorian Brew, despite everyone saying Ohio State's not the lead. I really do think that it's going to be Ohio State, Texas, or USC. I buy that. I could buy that USC and Texas may be in front right now, but I don't know that it's over by any stretch, and we'll see what happens. I think that this is a recruitment that when Dorian decided not to commit in January, that the mindset completely shifted. And it's like, hey, I may as well take this as long as I can take it. And he's a player that's good enough that he's not going to be pressured by anybody or rushed into a commitment at any of these schools. And it's just going to come down to what he wants and what his family wants. And I could definitely see him at any one of those schools. I'm not trying to play both sides against the middle here, but like I do buy that it is a wide open field, but I think that Texas has done a good job making some moves there. I don't know. USC is far away. I mean, even though it's easy to get there, it's still not exactly easy to tell your family, hey, I'm moving to LA, unless you're going to be in TV. Remember when Christian Miller from Georgia was like, I'm going to USC. I want to be on TV. And then like, it was Ohio State or Georgia the entire way. It was never really USC.
Yeah, I do remember that. I guess specifically with Brew, if he wants to play corner and they're going to other programs are going to use. Ohio State has three corners committed, then that's going to be tough to overcome, I would think, for Tim Walton and the Ohio State staff.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's when Ohio State will have to make some interesting decisions of their own and so have some interesting conversations of their own. Like, are you willing to, if it came down to that, are you willing to let Dorian Brew go to Texas or God forbid, in conference school like USC for a player maybe that, because you have other players that are committed that maybe you don't see that have the same upside? It's going to get harder. I mean, the recruiting game is going to get harder. That's one of the things I wrote about on Monday of the things Ohio State needs to figure out over this next few weeks. Like Brian Hartline at wide receiver, like there's a lot of guys out there, and you have DeCorian Moore, and you have Jamie French, and you have Khalik Lockett, and you have Vernell Brown, and you have Phillip Bell, and you have Taylen Taylor. Like eventually, some of these guys are going to take care of themselves and fall off to the wayside, but you're only going to sign three or four, and you're going to need to make some tough decisions. And you don't ever want to be the school that just takes commitments early and then moves on from them. But if kids aren't doing the things that they need to do or aren't, you know, buying into making themselves a better football player if they need to, that commitment is a two-way street. It's not just like, hey, I'm committed and now I get to do whatever I want and I'll just go to Ohio State and be a football player. Like there are still things that you need to handle. There's still a commitment to the game that you have to make sure that you're constantly earning your spot, because until you sign that letter of intent, no one is safe, Andrew. No one is safe.
That's true. You're not wrong about that.
You know who Ohio State fans are feeling uneasy about? Marquise Davis.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
That's right. You're feeling uneasy about Marquise Davis. And this brings to bear an interesting question. If Ohio State and new running backs coach Carlos Lachlan land a commitment from Jordan Davison, who Rivals.com has as the number one ranked running back in the country, and Bo Jackson, who Ohio State is ranked as the number six running back in the country, and Marquise Davis commits to Michigan without ever even looking into the future and seeing how good these kids become, are people going to be mad about it?
Yes. People will be mad about it. I mean, people will celebrate the additions of Davison and Bo Jackson, but then there is going to be a freak out if and when Marquise Davis were to commit to Michigan. And right now, like just me as a fan speculating, like I feel like that's the most likely outcome right now, personally. But yes, there will be a freak out about that.
Right. And there shouldn't be, and let's to be clear. I mean, now, if we project into the future and Marquise Davis becomes a better player than them, then we can look back and say, well, damn, that was a poor decision. But it's not a matter of Ohio State not trying to recruit Marquise Davis. That's now underway with Carlos Lachlan, who had no relationship with Davis when he was at Oregon. That's already begun. We expect to see Marquise Davis on campus this week. I think he'll be there Wednesday. There's a chance he's going to be back Saturday for the spring game. So you might see two visits with him. I think there was maybe a track meet or something he had on Saturday, which might throw that off. But you're looking at Ohio State essentially having to start brand new with Marquise Davis. And that is not ideal considering it's April the 8th. But Carlos Lachlan is beginning that adventure. Ohio State has a number of other players that they are interested in at the position. Shakai Mills-Knight and Deer Hill, who I mentioned last week on this show as two names to watch. Both of them got offered the next day by Lachlan, and he's begun now talking to other players around the country that he liked. Byron Lewis will visit this week on Wednesday as well. Like, there's a lot of things going on at running back, and Ohio State could probably very well sign two of the top six running backs in the country. But again, I think it's interesting. It's an interesting look into the psyche of the Ohio State mind, the Ohio State fans' mind right now, because I do agree that people will be more upset that Davis would go elsewhere than they would be happy that they signed or landed two of the top six.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I feel like they're very different kind of backs. Like, just from what I've seen, Davis seems like more of that explosive guy who could put up 600 yards and five touchdowns on a Friday night or something, whereas the other two are, I don't know if you say more balanced. I don't know. That's just what I've seen on the brief tapes that I've watched. They're very different kind of backs, I think.
Jordan Davison is playing at Modern Day High School in California, playing one of the most competitive schedules in the country and playing against dozens of Division I players every single Friday night. Like, it's a different world. Marquise Davis is special. Like, I, at 6'1", almost 210 pounds, like, I've seen him in person. I love his, you know, I love his film. I think he would be an absolutely dynamic safety if he wanted to play safety. I think Bo Jackson would be a really good linebacker if he wanted to play linebacker. I think there's a way, potentially, especially now with Dallin Hayden entering the transfer portal or announcing that he's going to be, or report saying he's going to be, like, there's a way, I think, for Ohio State to try and sign three running backs in this class, knowing that they were this close to doing it in the class of 2024 until Jordan Lyle decommitted on signing day. So I think you have at least the, like, you have the architecture in place to try to do that. But the relationship has to get there, and that is underway, but it is certainly going to be behind where Tony Alford and Michigan are for Marquise Davis, who's now been to Michigan twice in the last 14 days. Like, and that in itself is telling, because Alford, I think, understands that even though, you know, there's a lot of Michigan media hyping up Jordan Davison and a lot of other stuff, I think Tony Alford and Michigan have a clear path to stealing Marquise Davis from Ohio State and from Ohio, and that will be celebrated in a major way as a getting one over on Ohio State. But again, if the Buckeyes are signing two of the top six in the country, I don't know that that's an accurate way to look at it, but whatever.
If in my head, if they could get Jackson and Davison and then get one of those Deer Hill or that other, the other dude they just offered, which I have no idea if that's realistic or not.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I would love to see them sign three, but I have no idea if that's a possibility.
Yeah. I think the best case scenario for Ohio State would be to sign or to land two of those top three that we've already talked about over and over: Bo Jackson, Marquise Davis, Jordan Davison. And then maybe a guy like Jeffrey Overton from Virginia, who Buckeyes really like, and he's a big fan of Ohio State. He's more of that shifty slot, I don't want to say niche type of guy, but he's not your traditional every down running back. And I think he's more a player you could slot into that third role. But we'll see how things unfold. Wednesday's a big day for Ohio State, though, when it begins really putting Carlos Lachlan and Marquise Davis and his family in face-to-face situations where they can start building that relationship, because Marquise Davis is a little bit aloof, and sometimes he's almost like too cool for school, but it's just his personality. And I personally quite enjoy it because I like talking to the kid a lot, but I do wonder if that personality clash will make it difficult for Carlos Lachlan to make up ground, because he's not a kid that is like warm and fuzzy and open to, you know, just being dabbing everybody up. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not his thing.
Yeah.
You know who is open to dabbing everybody up? Trey McNutt. And Trey McNutt is now dabbing up players all over the state of Ohio, because his decision to accept or essentially force a suspension from the Ohio High School Athletic Association has been reversed. And he opened the door for Ohio players to play 7-on-7, which is awesome, and be able to do so anywhere they want and around the country, you know, prior to mid-May, which was the rule before, and they were only allowed to play with their high school team. Now, what that will do is it means like guys like Albert Hill, for example, at Akron Hoban, class of 2026 cornerback that Ohio State is all over, won't be at Ohio State this weekend because he's going to be playing in Dallas as well in the 7-on-7 tournament. So big news for Trey McNutt. He also dropped a top eight on April 8th. I don't know that there's really anything like surprising about it, Andrew. Is there anything that you saw or anything about his top eight, which is Florida, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Oregon, Tennessee, Texas A&M, and USC? Was there anything about that group that like caught you off guard, or you're like, ooh, interesting?
No, not at all. Honestly, like, I've just long assumed the kid is going to end up at Ohio State after doing his due diligence, which he's clearly doing. I really have no idea like what his hierarchy would be like. If you have Ohio State at one, who would be the number two and three teams? I really have no idea. I did see some interesting rumblings this weekend about Miami passing on him and not being interested in him. So it's funny how that works out with fan bases from across the country. But no, I did not have any surprises on his list at all, honestly.
I don't know that I would believe that Miami is not would say no. I guess I'm surprised Michigan's on the list because I just don't think it's a realistic option at this point. I think that when you're looking at Trey McNutt, I think Ohio State is certainly very much in the picture. Texas A&M has been rising in that picture. USC, again, I think is real. Tennessee, I think is real. Oregon, I think is real. But I don't know that I really buy much else on that group. But doesn't matter. And that's the beauty of it. What does matter is that Ohio State has him, Fahim Dulane, Cody Haddad, Kainoa Winston, and Jonah Williams, and 17 other safeties on their board, essentially, with one committed in Deshaun Stevens. Deshaun Stewart. And you are telling the other guys there's three spots left. I think that's the goal right now. Probably four safeties in this class. So if we can start operating from that vantage point, that perspective, it does make it easier to see how all of this works out. If you think four safeties, three corners, I think that's the way I would view things from here. And then wherever Dorian Brew falls into that middle part, you know, I think, as we said, then you start to maybe make some decisions after that. But there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of things going on. Go ahead.
With McNutt, then, is the question of where he's going to be playing his senior season probably like no longer a question then due to that ruling change, or what do you know about that?
I don't know for sure, but I would imagine that should alleviate the concern. I still have heard rumblings that, you know, there's talk about IMG, there's talk about maybe moving down to Tennessee, talk about going out to California. Like, there are discussions being had about having almost like a semi-pro high school league. I don't know if you've seen that. Like around the country, like essentially turning, like creating a high school NIL showcase instead of like guys actually playing football for their high schools. Like, there's discussion about that. I've actually seen Dorian Brew's name linked to that, which would be interesting. So I think you're going to find out pretty quickly when kids start making these like huge, weird decisions where people's priorities really are. I talk to Trey a lot. I mean, he seems to be very purposeful in what he's doing, and his motto of for the kids. Like, I think he knows that he's trying to provide a good example and be like the shining star for the kids in Shaker Heights and other kids around Ohio. And his YouTube channel is doing a great job, like finding ways to connect with people. I still think Trey McNutt and Ohio State are a really good fit, and so I would expect that that's where it'll end up. If he leaves the state for high school, for senior year high school, then things get a little bit funky, but who knows? There's a lot to talk about, Andrew. There's a college basketball game on shortly, and I wanted to wrap this up and hopefully get this online before then. So let's jump into our 4-minute offense and dive into any extra things that are on your mind before we call it quits on this episode of Talking Stuff.
Yeah, we actually should be able to keep it at 4 minutes this time, because I've really only got one thing to even mention. So Naeem offered visiting Georgia this week, I believe. Maybe, I don't know if it's like on his way to Columbus, he's stopping there. I'm not sure what the itinerary is like, but we said back when he committed, you know, this is going to happen. But yeah. any thoughts on that, or just kind of, that's just what's going to happen?
It's just what's going to happen. And Oregon is also on the list for a visit, I think, at the end of this month. So this is the world we live in. It sucks. It's unfortunate, but the key for Ohio State, the key for Tim Walton is, are these kids being upfront with me about what they're doing? Are these kids making sure that they're not trying to be sneaky, or, you know, are their families pulling over a fast one, or, and they aren't. And so even kids, I mean, we saw it with the TJ Alford commitment 10 days ago, like before he committed, he said, I'm going to ask my coaches and make sure that I'm able to go and visit elsewhere. And they said, yes. So like, these discussions happen. I think it's actually interesting when it comes to guys like Tim Walton and Brian Hartline from a year ago, and now we see it maybe starting to percolate a little bit with James Laurinaitis, like the confidence that those coaches have in what they are producing and what Ohio State provides allows them the peace to say, go ahead, visit elsewhere, and I guarantee you, you're not going to find what you found at Ohio State. And maybe it's a coincidence that those three guys who I just mentioned all played at Ohio State. They all know exactly what the Ohio State experience did for them. And if you listen to James Laurinaitis talk, if you listen to Brian Hartline talk, if you listen to Tim Walton talk, about what Ohio State did for them as young men, I think they find themselves much more comfortable allowing their commitments to just find out for themselves. Now, nobody wants that to be the case. Nobody wants these kids to be out and putting themselves in front of other coaches and in front of other NIL opportunities, but you're also not going to stop it. I mean, for these top 10 kids in the country, the offers, that's just not going to happen. I mean, if Tavian St. Clair really wanted to engage in this startup stuff, like, he could do the same thing. Like, there's nothing that's going to stop any of these kids other than making sure that they're making the right decision. And, you know, Naeem offered, visited Ohio State twice. That second visit that he made, committed basically out of the blue. Like, there's a lot of things probably that are opening up in front of him that he's probably going, well, now I got to check this out. Now I got to check this out. But as we always say, like, it's better to be in front than trailing. And so Ohio State is certainly in front. But none of these kids, with the exception of probably, you know, Eli Lee or Tavian St. Clair, should you look at and feel like, oh, I'm 1,000% comfortable. Even Devin Sanchez, who is like Mr. Buckeye in this class, like, if 6 months from now, if something came up, like, he's going to have to take those same sort of opportunities and look at them as well. So you got to hope that now you just keep building on what you have. And what you'd really like is Naeem Offord and Devin Sanchez to spend their whole weekend together in Columbus this weekend, which they'll do, and realize, hey, man, we have an opportunity to be something really crazy good in Columbus. And if it means comparing that to Georgia, so be it.
Yeah, makes sense. Last one real quick. So after the Eli Lee commitment way back when, and we started to kind of piece together Laurinaitis' board, TJ Alford obviously was a big name. But then that Elijah Melendez kid that's committed to Miami now, sounded like Ohio State was like maybe number two for him for a bit, and then he committed to Miami. I saw something on Twitter yesterday about taking a multi-day visit to Michigan. Is him and Ohio State just kind of dead in the water, or do you think there's any like traction or reason to even pay attention to that one anymore?
I fully expect Elijah Melendez will take an official visit to Ohio State. He's got some family up in the Detroit area, so that's what it's about. He's actually like from Colorado, so you'll see more visits to Colorado. He's got family in Detroit. His dad grew up a Michigan fan, so like you'll see him up there. He loves James Laurinaitis. Ohio State is still on the official visit list if the Buckeyes decide to go through with that. I don't know if they will or not, to be honest. I mean, if that visit doesn't happen, it's because Ohio State pulled the plug on it and said it's not necessary. You have linebackers like Elijah Barnes, like we already talked about, Riley Pettijohn, another one in Texas. Like, so I think that the Buckeyes are more focused there. But the relationship with Elijah Melendez and James Laurinaitis has been really good. But again, a kid, he was gung-ho about Ohio State and committed to Miami on one visit. And we'll see. It's a different world. I would not expect him to flip to Michigan, however.
Got it. That's all I got.
All right. Well, hopefully everyone can get this episode underway as they start watching Purdue and UConn in the national championship game tonight. Andrew, who do you got?
I had UConn winning it all in my bracket, which is completely ruined, but I'll just roll with UConn. Why not?
Yeah, I think they're going to win by like 20 plus. I don't think it's going to be close. So I want to make sure this is on the record. It's now 8:53 as we're wrapping this up. So if I'm wrong, sorry. If I'm right, make sure everyone tells me how great I am. Anyway, thanks for watching Talking Stuff. This is on the podcast. As always, please rate, review, subscribe. Tell your friends about what we do here, and we look forward to talking to you next time. See ya.